Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Board 101 Leader Training. Thank you for joining us. For those of you who are listening to this audio version of the training, please make sure that you also pull up the presentation that was saved to the Chapter Leaders resource page in the PDF that is available for your viewing pleasure in the instance that perhaps the video link is not working for you. I'd like to welcome Beth Chitness, VP of Meeting Expectations, who is joining us today to help co-facilitate this training. Beth, hello.
Hello, thank you for having me and welcome everyone.
Thank you. Super excited to have you. So this training is probably the most important training that you'll have all year long. It is the training that kind of sets the tone for everything that you're doing. It gives you all of your benchmarks to understand what will be happening in the coming year as far as your partnership with MPI Global and your responsibilities in meeting those partnerships, as well as setting an understanding and expectation of serving on a board of directors. So everything that you'll learn here, you'll be using throughout your time serving on the board of directors. So with that being said, we'll get started and kind of get you moving through this. So today we're going to talk about quite a few different things. I'm going to cover quickly the MPI Global and chapter partnerships, all of the requirements and support initiatives that we currently have for you, as well as any kinds of resources or training that might come up through the year that you would want to be aware of. Then we're going to turn it over to Beth, and Beth is really going to dive a little bit more deeper into what does it mean to be a great board and what are those characteristics, and what are going to be your responsibilities throughout the year as part of serving on a board, from ethical to legal to insurance. She's going to kind of hit on everything for you, and then getting into a little bit more on the board functionality, that the day in, day out stuff that you do. And then we'll talk slightly about being a good leader and how to get started into your year. So on the global pieces, we're going to just kind of touch on them. Please note that this is not an in-depth overview of your global, but it's important that you do have a good basic understanding of MPI Global. So for those of you who are brand new to MPI Board of Directors, not repeating your term, some of this information could be new, and it's important that you know it because you now represent that brand. You have a stake in the game in that you're running that local business, and you want to make sure that you are fully well-versed in all things MPI, not just your local chapter, but MPI Global. So I'm not really going to read all of these screens. So again, if you're listening to the audio version, please make sure you're looking at the PDF. But it's important to know a little bit about MPI, our community of 60,000 meeting and event professionals. We have about 17,000 plus members, hoping to continue to grow that number. And we have quite a variety of chapters. We have 45 chapters in the U.S., 7 chapters in our Canadian region, an additional 2 in Latin America, 13 chapters in Europe, 2 in Asia, and 23 student clubs throughout North America. So quite a diverse group of members and communities out in our brand, which is very exciting. Our vision and mission at MPI Global is the same vision and mission that you will have at the local chapter level. In years past, chapters might have had separate visions and missions, but at the end of the day, we are all one. We're all representing the same brand, the same community, and we really want to make sure that you at the chapter level are driving that same focus to our members, so it's the same experience no matter where they go. So really making sure locally that in everything you do, you are driving that vision and mission of MPI in your goals and all your processes. Understanding how your partnership works with MPI Global will really give you a good baseline for the activities and the things that you're doing. And so I want to kind of take you through what that looks like, that partnership. Way back in the day when your chapter was founded, your founding members signed a chapter charter, and they agreed to some very key things that they would do in order to carry that brand of MPI locally and bring it to the local community. Some of those things that they agreed to were, one, to make sure that they had a full board of directors and a team that could operate that local business. So congratulations, you're part of that team. You get a chance to help support that local picture. with that board, you're also agreeing to maintain succession planning, which is building the pipeline for future board leaders. So working with committees and making sure that you have a plan in place and that you're operating that plan against your succession to ensure that you have, again, a pipeline for future. They also agreed to various planning requirements. Those planning requirements are things such as making sure you have a budget, a business plan, a calendar with all of the events that you're going to be having, a plan for how you're going to market all of those things. So there are several compliance documents you'll hear about throughout the year, and we'll talk about those compliance documents here shortly, but that you agreed to make sure you're maintaining, turning in timely, and following. You report those annually in most cases. Some of them have some monthly requirements, but you send those to MPI Global, your chapter business manager, and they help review and support and make sure you're staying on task with those throughout the year. Additionally, you agree to maintain the governance at the local level, and Beth is going to talk in more detail about governance and what governance really looks like at the chapter. But for the purposes of what we're talking about as far as your partnership, you agreed to maintain your bylaws, your policies and procedures, and adhere to them and meet all the minimum requirements that come down from MPI Global in relation to those. Additionally, you agreed to meet the brand standards of MPI. We provide you with a brand and identity standard guide within the chapter leaders resource area. And within there, it talks about all the things that you need to do as it relates to the logo, the name of your chapter, and those member-facing documents that you might be using in the community. But it also represents the brand, the professional brand, meaning how you are representing yourself within our local community and are you adhering to the principles and professionalism. So in everything you want to do, you want to remember that you have a huge influence in our community and you are also representing the professional brand of MPI. And then lastly, the educational requirements of being a chapter. So all of our chapters have agreed to host a minimum of 6 educational events at the local level. Those educational events, we do give you the freedom to decide what those events are, how you operate, and time of day, structure, so forth, whether it's webinar, breakfast, reception, those kinds of things. But you need to make sure that you're bringing a minimum of 6 educational offerings to your local members. That's a lot of different things to do, and we want to make sure that you know that you're going to have support. It's important to know that as you're doing all of these things, though, that you've now moved beyond being a volunteer. When you were sitting at the committee chair or the committee level, you were volunteering in this community. You're now moved up to the leadership community, and so you are really running a business at this stage. And so it's important to understand that, because although it's a great honor to serve on a board of directors, and you should be hugely proud of the accomplishment of being selected by your peers, you have to also remember that it's a great responsibility and that you've agreed to a lot more than what you did as just a committee member. You are now running the business of the local chapter, and that entails everything and all the fiduciary responsibilities that go with it, which Beth will talk about. So it's important that you recognize that your members are your customers. And just like in the business that you have where you're working for your bosses or if it's your own company, you want to make sure you're taking good care of your customers and everything you do and that you're putting their needs at the forefront of your business. The president of your board is kind of serving as your CEO. It's their job to give you the oversight and ensure that everything that you've decided you want to do as a board actually happens and comes to fruition, and that they help you successfully maneuver that ship to get there. They are not the sole decision maker, as Beth will talk about, but they are the person who's going to help ensure that you get where you want to go. You, as the board, as the management team, you're driving all the committee members and the chairs to ensure that all the workload gets done. You're taking that vision and mission of the board and you're drilling it down into the community level and making sure everything happens. Your board meetings, those are like your staff meetings, and just like you would be present at your employer's staff meetings, if you work at a hotel and you have a sales meeting, you know, you show up, you come prepared, you're ready to report out. It is the same thing here. You have very few board meetings or face-to-face opportunities at the chapter level to do the work of the board. So it's important that you come prepared, you've read all your documents, that you've reported everything you need to report, and that you're ready to discuss the business of the chapter at those board meetings. Additionally, as part of all of those requirements, we look at those requirements in the form of performance standards. How are you doing against all of those requirements? So these are things that we have always gauged at our chapter level, and we're going to be sharing these with you in a little bit more detail in the coming term. So your chapter business managers will come in and really discuss these in great detail with you as far as how you're doing and measuring against each one of these categories. What I'm going to talk about here today are just kind of high level. What are those performance standards and what do they mean to you from, you know, a larger picture? So in everything that you do, you have a couple of different categories, and these, everything you're doing is based on these categories. So the first one being the membership satisfaction and engagement of services. This is where we look at how are your members satisfied with your overall chapter and all of the things that you do locally. And we kind of look to see how you're trending against that. We'll look at your member retention and how well you're doing at retaining the current members that you have and making sure that you're bringing them and keeping them into the community. Your net member growth, which it's very important that as you're looking at retaining the current members, you're still growing your chapter. And so as some are falling out, you're growing and continuing to bring in new members. So we look at that overall net member growth. And then a new one for the coming term is the non-member conversion rate. It's very important that as you're inviting guests and bringing them into your community, that you have a plan in place for how you're going to follow up with those non-members and engage them and bring them into the actual membership community. So we'll be also looking at how you're trending against that, how many guests you have and how many guests you're turning into members. The next category is leadership. So some of the areas that leadership represents is succession planning. So I talked about having a complete board and having a pipeline of volunteers. So we'll look at that and see how you're doing against that. We'll also look at your volunteer to member ratio. How many of your members are volunteering and are you doing a good job your members volunteering? Are you doing a good job of getting your members engaged in that community? Or are you focusing on doing the work yourself? So you are a board of directors, not a board of doers. It's really important that you're engaging the community and assisting them. Global training. So throughout the year, we offer various trainings. And so we'll look at how you're participating in those trainings and making sure that you have good participation against those, such as today's Board 101 training. So congratulations, you've met the first requirement there. We also look at your administrative and your financial practices. So within those categories, what we're looking at is your chapter compliance. So I talked about a bunch of documents that are due, and we're going to talk about what those documents are. We look to see if you're submitting those on a timely manner and if they're complete and thorough. We look at your governance and do you have your policies and bylaws and are they being utilized? Do you have good board meeting practices, things of that nature? Your net profit, how well are you doing at managing your revenue versus expenses and making sure that you're investing in your chapter for future? And then finally, your reserves. Do you have a good reserve account and have you been maintaining that so that you can have what you need for emergencies or investment, capital investment of your chapter moving forward? The next category is communications. And in communications, what we're looking for is really your community presence. Do you have an updated, current, thorough website that's fresh for your members? And are you engaging in at least one social media outlet that your members can also engage in? And then additionally, are you brand compliant, which I talked about earlier? Are you meeting all of those guidelines? The last category we look at is your educational offerings. And that's simply, are you able and are you bringing six educational offerings to your members? And then how satisfied are they with those educational offerings? Are you meeting their needs for the local demographic and the type of members that you have locally and what they're looking to get out of this? As I mentioned, compliance standards. So this is kind of the list of what those are. And I'm not going to read this list for you today, but it's important that you are aware and that you know that we'll be working with your Office of the President to make sure that they're preparing and prepping for all of these things and getting them done in a timely manner. But in the most current, it will be the top little bucket here, that business planning documents that are due June 15th. And that's that business plan and budget that I mentioned, your 18-month calendar. That you have a marketing calendar, a plan of how you're going to be marketing all of your events, and you kind of know what that process is going to look like. Your succession plan, you're knowing how you're going to grow and gain your volunteers and reward them throughout the year. All of your governance documents, and then of course, your Board 101 and conflict of interest verification forms that your incoming president has probably already asked you to sign. All of these are going to be due on June 15th, and we'll be working with your president to get them. So it's important for you to know as you go into transition meetings and retreat season, working up till the June 15th, everything that they're asking you for, they have deadlines in which to get it in. So it's important that you play a timely role in turning all of those documents in. Now, all of this is a lot of information, a lot of requirements, a lot of standards and things that you have to support and adhere to. But I do want to give you comfort in understanding that you're not doing it alone and you don't need to remember all of those things off the top of your head. Your chapter business managers are there to guide you and ensure that you remember the timelines are coming. They're communicating with you often and they're supporting you in all of these areas, whether it's in the development of these documents or the execution of them. And so they are there to support you through your business planning, your metric goals, which we'll cover shortly, that healthy financial management, and are you maneuvering through your budget the way you should or shouldn't? They'll assist you, especially if you haven't had a lot of budget training. They'll work with you on the oversight of all of these guidelines and performance standards to make sure you're on target, and even right into helping your Office of the President with retreat planning and getting that executed successfully. They have processes by which they can help you with your membership, but mostly where they're going to really be the best support is helping you stay focused on those solutions and not getting too concerned about all of the things that are worrying you and dragging you down, but just keep you focused on what can we do to move forward and helping you with any of the challenges that you're having to make sure you're successful. They will become your most valuable resource in the coming days, and we really hope that you will lean on them and give them a call. So if you haven't met them yet, they should have reached out. Please make sure you find out who your chapter business manager is and how to contact them if you need assistance. Your chapter business manager is assessing your chapter as they're going through the process of supporting you and working with you. They're constantly reviewing the various documents and areas listed here on this slide. And you won't necessarily even know they're doing it. And you don't necessarily need to even be so concerned about it. We just want you to know that they're using these documents. So it's important that your chapter administrator is communicating all of these documents to them and that you're aware that this is how we do review and keep up with you so that you're turning in all of your documents timely and thorough. So when you turn in your board reports, make sure your board reports are including the information that we would need to see. One of the things that we do offer you from the chapter, from MPI Global is chapter metrics. And metrics is a great way for you to set goals, engage your performance against your performance standards, and how you're trending. But it's also a great way to earn incentives for doing a job well and above and beyond the requirements. So the metrics will be talked about more at your chapter retreat, and you'll hear what your specific goals are within those metrics. But the metrics highlight all the key areas that balance and support your requirements and performance standards. So your net member growth, that content satisfaction, how are you engaging with your volunteer community? Are your members overall satisfied with everything that you're doing locally? And then, of course, the financial management of your chapter. So all of these are reported monthly through a dashboard, and that dashboard is shared with you at the board level as well. And it's your chance to review and see how you're doing against your performance and make adjustments and then win various incentives, which translates into dollars back to the chapter for your membership. So it's a great value to you to really focus on your metrics. Additionally, we want to make sure that we're recognizing and rewarding you for all of the hard work beyond the metrics. Metrics is how we reward you with the dollars to say thank you and help you invest back in your community. But the chapter recognition program is how we award you and recognize you in front of your peers and personally to say thank you for all of the efforts and being a great chapter. We have three different categories. Those will be awarded in August. And so your chapter business manager will be talking more about those at the retreat. But just know there is a way that MPI Global does recognize its chapter community. And this is new. We had multiple years where we didn't offer awards to our chapters. So this was just started for the 16-17 term. I want to cover, just briefly here, a couple chapter support initiatives. So if you've been around for a while, you've been hearing about these things. If you're new to the board, this is more of an FYI to give you some guidance and some things that are coming down the pike in the coming days. So MPI Global has been working over the past year and a half, 2 years to really look at how we support our chapters and making sure that we're recognizing, number one, that you're one of our most valuable assets, an outlet for reaching into our membership community, but also how do we support you in being successful in that and what resources are we building for you? So one of the things that we've looked at over these last 2 years is what are we doing? We know we need to have good brand consistency for our members. We need to have operational excellence and so that member experience can be similar across the brand no matter what region you're in. And that members can be pleased as they move around or visit other chapters. So all of these supportive initiatives are designed to support you at the local chapter level with that brand experience, with that member experience, and then the operational excellence that you need to bring to the table. So one of the first ones that we'll talk about is the Preferred Chapter Administrator Program. This one's very exciting and getting ready to launch here just in a few weeks. And that is where we look at most of our chapters have a paid staff that comes in and really supports the operations. A lot of our chapters, it's a lot of work to manage and select that person and to know that you've got the right person and what services should you be using with that particular paid staff. So we're developing a program with preferred administrators where you can easily select through that list and pick the right vendor for your needs at the local level and be sure that they can bring all of the quality services to the table, along with a nice toolkit that helps you to go through that process really easily. So in the coming year, as you're starting your board service, you'll see this program launching and how you can engage with this program. Secondly, the other big one we just started to launch is our digital transformation. MPI Global, as part of understanding our brand experience and member experience, we really needed to look at everything we were doing. We had a consultant come in and look at our infrastructures, and we have made the decision to move under a new MPI website and internal infrastructure that can better support our member needs and our chapter needs. And as part of doing that, all of our chapters will come under this platform. So you currently have individual websites at the local chapter level. In the coming year to 2 years, all of our chapters will come up under the MPI Global website, and you'll have pages within our website where you can enhance and still recognize all the great things you're doing at the chapter level, but it'll all be done through one infrastructure where all of our chapters have access to our membership database, and we're all connected as one to make it a much more engaging member experience, an easier chapter leader experience, and help us build that stronger brand presence. Additionally, as part of that project, what it will do for our chapters is increase revenues. So there'll be opportunity for you to have more strategic placement of your advertising and sponsorship, but also share in revenues of our sponsorships and advertisements. As we begin to build that out and start placing them, there's an opportunity for a chapter share in the revenue. So again, this is coming and you'll begin to hear more about this locally and in the coming months as you start your board service. A couple little things left before we switch it over to Beth and talk about board, and that would be your chapter leader training and resource opportunities. So throughout the year, we want to make sure we're bringing as much support to you as possible. And so the first way we do that is through your chapter leader's resource page. You'll often hear your chapter business manager refer to this or myself when you're doing calls with me, and we will direct you there to find any templates or documents. That's where everything is housed for you. So we're going to push you a little bit that we won't necessarily hand you every document. We're going to send you there to get them. We want to make sure you know where it's at and how to utilize it. So if you have not been shown how to access this yet through your local chapter president or your transition meetings, please get with them or your chapter business manager and they can show you how to access it. But it's simply you're going to go to mpiweb.org, make sure you're logged in, and then you can go to the chapter leaders resource page from there. All your resources are organized by department or role, so it really helps you find the valuable templates and tools that you need, from your membership action plans to reports to educational calendars, business plan templates, everything that you need is there, and we continue to add to this throughout the year. So very valuable, and all of you have access now, so you should be able to get in there. If for some reason you can't, please let us know, and we'll make sure your access is verified and that you're able to get in there right away. And then lastly, your leader training opportunities. So every year we will do your chapter business summit, otherwise known as CBS. We just completed that. It was a fabulous. We got great reviews on it. It's where you come in and it's a two-day intensive on your leadership roles. And we'll be announcing the 2018 dates shortly for that one. Chapter Leader Forum is coming up on June 19th, which is during WEC. It's right before the kickoff of WEC. And if you are attending WEC, Chapter Leader Forum is free to you. It'll be a great opportunity to do best practice sharing with peers, serving in other roles, and getting to know your membership community. And then throughout the year, we'll do leadership calls based on role, as well as various webinars, such as this Board 101 that will help you with the training and the specific topics that you might need throughout the year. So a lot of opportunity for you to engage and get training. I think the most important thing to remember about everything I told you is, number one, you have a chapter business manager to support you on it. So it's okay if you're walking away from this webinar and you're like, I think I forgot 5 of the 10. We're here to help you remember. Most of this is in your policy manual, so it is written down for you. And we're going to target you throughout the year with calls and trainings to make sure we keep you on task and keep you on the schedule. Your Office of the President has an exact timeline that takes them through everything by month so that you can't drop the ball and forget. So just know that we're here to support you throughout. So at this point, I'm going to stop talking and turn it over to Beth, and she's going to tell you what it means to serve on a board of directors. Beth?
Fantastic. Thank you, Holly. And again, welcome everyone to the Board 101 Leadership Training today. As Holly mentioned, I am a vice president at Meeting Expectations. We are a meeting and association management firm. And I've had the pleasure of serving as the executive director for MPI Chicago, and prior to that, had served as the association manager for MPI Georgia. And today I am an active member of the Georgia chapter here. In this next section, I'll cover the characteristics of a strong, effective board, general board and legal responsibilities, and the basics for having your board function at a high level, all of which are keys for good governance. Looking first at what are the general board responsibilities, you can look at governance like it is a team. It's a team sport. The responsibilities of the individual board members need to be defined in the context of the team. There's no room for an individual agenda when the team agenda is imperative. A great board is going to understand these responsibilities, and they operate with these responsibilities in mind. So taking a look at what you see here, the role of the board is to advance the mission and vision. A great board understands what matters most for the organization, and they're focused on why the organization exists, that mission, and where the organization is going, the vision. Strong boards are also responsible for protecting and managing the resources of the organization. And with resources, you have money, you have time, and you have people, both your volunteers and your staff. In addition, they maintain fiscal responsibility. They're going to disclose any conflicts of interest and maintain confidentiality. I'm going to touch a little bit more on those in a few more minutes. They also are responsible for determining and monitoring all the programs and services that are offered. You want to keep the big picture in mind and ensure that what the chapter is offering is in line with the goals of the organization and still true to the mission and vision. And additionally, they will assess performance of both the management, your staff, and your volunteers. Strong boards will set clear board expectations, and they'll hold each other accountable to them. And they're not afraid to do a self-assessment to see how has the board performed this year. Most importantly, your board is going to be informed, they're going to be engaged, and they're going to be present. It's an honor to serve on the board of directors, and be proud that you are seen as a person of value selected to serve. Now, the structure of the board is designed to create a strategic environment to encourage collaboration amongst your functional areas and to provide guidance to your committee structure. It starts with your Office of the President, and the President, past President, and President-elect here is going to represent your past, present, and future. And the goal of this is to really create the consistency for your board operations. Next, you have your Vice Presidents. These individuals in serving in these roles need to remain strategic. Look at the big picture. You're setting goals for your own area, but you need to understand how your area's goals are going to impact other areas of the chapter. And your directors here should be designed to manage your committees with those chapter goals in mind and act as a liaison between the board and the committees. One trap that a lot of chapters fall into is those directors start to serve as a super chair. And you want to make sure that your committees are designed to really follow through on the tactical items to implement the goals, and your director needs to stay strategic with the board and not get sucked into being that super chair. A strong board makes board recruitment and development of your board members much easier, and it's important to have the right people in the right place, and that is going to help with your succession pipeline. When I touched on the role of the committee as it relates to the board sets the strategic direction, and the committees are designed to operate the tactical items to extend the work of the board. Committees should be providing regular reports on their activities to the board and planning for recruitment and what the future direction is of their committees. And just like with the Office of the President creating that consistency, you want to create something similar in your committee structures to make sure that you're planning for that future leadership. Communication is going to be key for the success of your committees and for the board to be able to support those committees. So make sure that you have a process in place with committee reports to the board, that there's regular communication on the activities of those committees. When your board is in action, you want to make sure that there's no individual authority. The board is operating as a group. The president or any other individual should not be making all the decisions for your chapter. And it's your responsibility as a board member to be part of those decision-making processes. So speak up and share your opinions during those meetings. You're obligated to be part of that process, to question decisions that are made, and to speak up if you disagree with a decision. Make sure that's known during that deliberation process of your meeting. And this last point on here is one that can be challenging for some chapters, and it's really important to remember. The board should be dealing with issues that are affecting the whole organization and not just an individual. So keep that in mind as the board is discussing different topics that come up for discussion. Now, serving on a board of directors does come with legal responsibilities. As a board member, you have the ultimate responsibility and accountability for the performance of the organization. Boards regularly delegate the work to the committees or to volunteers or staff, but as a board member, you can't delegate your responsibility for that work. And so with that, you have three fundamental legal duties. It's duty of care, it's duty of loyalty, and duty of obedience. With duty of care, this first one, it attaches to you personally as an individual. It's your due diligence, your role as an individual on the board. It requires the director to use good judgment and reasonable care when making decisions on behalf of the interests of the organization. Board members are required to be informed and participate in the meetings and the decisions. And the most important component to this one is protecting the confidential information. And with that, remembering that whatever was confidential during your term of service on the board extends indefinitely. So something that was confidential while you were serving as a board member continues to be confidential even after your term of service has ended. So keep that in mind when you're serving on a board. The next one is the duty of loyalty. And this one speaks to situations and how you handle those situations. Board members need to be faithful to the organization and put that first. You need to eliminate any personal interests or personal gains there from the decisions and the discussions that you're having. The big component to this duty of loyalty is disclosing conflicts of interests. You need to do what's best for the organization and eliminate any interest that you might have personally. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that one in a moment. And the third one is the duty of obedience. And this one applies to the group as a whole. And it might be common sense, but I do want to highlight this, that within the duty of obedience, the requirement is that you have to follow the laws. You can't do anything that is going to be against a federal, state, or local law. But in addition to that, any governing documents that you have. And that includes your bylaws, policies and procedures, articles of incorporation. You have a seat at the table. And again, this is talking about the group as a whole. It's your obligation as a board member to speak up, to engage in dialogue, to be prepared, be present. But what's important here is after that decision is made by the board, you have to speak with one voice. It's okay to disagree, and it should happen. There should be that conflict in those discussions at times at the board meetings. And it's okay to vote against decisions that the board is discussing and trying to make. But in the end, as a board member, you have to speak with one voice with what that decision was from the board, and you cannot speak poorly of those decisions after those board meetings happen. And so I touched a little bit on this under the duty of loyalty, but the conflict of interest is an important topic to expand on. The key for nonprofit boards is not to avoid all possible conflicts of interest, but to have a process to follow when they do occur. And oftentimes, people might be unaware if they have a conflict. And so the important part here is to bring it to the attention of the board, to let the board know that you think you might have a conflict, and then let the board to discuss that. A classic example could be the board needs to select a vendor for a future event. It could be an audiovisual provider. It could be a venue. And say you have a board member has a spouse or a family member or somebody who works for that company that you're looking to do business with, that board member would have a conflict of interest and should present that to the board. Another example could be if a board member serves on two different boards in the community and finds himself in the position of needing to solicit sponsorships for both organizations. And so that, again, could be a potential conflict of interest. And so the key here is not to avoid having a conflict, but to have a process on how you're going to address the conflict. So the first step in addressing a conflict of interest is to disclose it, to bring it to the attention of the board. The second step is for the board to then discuss, is that a conflict? For the board to make a decision, does that conflict actually exist? Then the board is going to decide what action should you take. You know, it might be beneficial for that board member to be a part of the discussion. They might bring valuable information that the board would need to be able to make a decision. So it's okay for that board member to be present for the discussion, but then needs to step out for the deliberation and the decision. Or you might decide that it's a conflict where the board member should not even be present for the discussion or the decision. And a last extreme example would be if the board member needs to resign. An example where, and again, this would be an extreme situation, but where this might occur is if a board member decides that they could serve as a chapter administrator for a chapter. Say the board is looking for a new administrator, and a board member could do that. They would have to step down from serving on the board of directors if they were going to become a staff member or an employee of the chapter. So again, an extreme example of a conflict of interest where resignation might be the next step. And lastly, whatever the decision was, you need to disclose it in the minutes. So make sure that you're having a process to address your conflicts of interest and following this process for each one that's presented. And so as I mentioned, there are legal responsibilities serving on a board of directors. And with that comes liability for serving on a board of directors. There could be a breach of those fiduciary responsibilities or those legal duties that I discussed. So if there's a disregard to that, if you are not disclosing conflicts of interest, if you are speaking poorly of decisions and not with one voice, if you are not maintaining that confidentiality, that could create a liability there. So a disregard to those duties could create a liability. There could also be a third-party claim. An example of this could be somebody gets hurt at an event and comes back and sues the chapter or you as a board member for not having done anything about that. And the third example could be a statutory liability. And this is a responsibility that's imposed by law. So antitrust or discrimination are two common examples of a statutory liability. And more specifically, with discrimination, it could be somebody claiming there was discrimination in a scholarship or award selection or even a membership process. So not as common, but liability still exists. I don't want you to get scared. Yes, there is a liability, but there are ways to minimize that risk. And first and foremost is insurance. Directors and officers insurance and general liability insurance is offered for the chapter. MPI Global has this policy, and there are policies that it's the umbrella that the chapters are covered under this. The insurance will cover the organization and you personally as a board member, as long as you acted in good faith. You didn't have a breach of any of those fiduciary duties or legal duties. If you have questions about what is covered under this insurance, I encourage you to reach out to your chapter business manager and even reach out to an insurance agent to see if there is a need for any additional insurance. But again, know what that insurance policy is that covers you as a board member. In addition to that, how to minimize the risk are those legal duties. Use good judgment, disclose and avoid conflicts of interest and personal gain, if that's the decision of the board, and follow all of the governing documents and be faithful to that mission of the organization. So I've touched on this a few times, that these governing documents, and there is a hierarchy of the documents. There's a trumping order. First and foremost, national and local laws. You can't do anything that's against the law. Second are the articles of incorporation. And this was the contract that the chapter has with the state when you established the legal basis for the organization and when you told the state what you were going to be doing as a business. Third is the nonprofit status with the IRS. This does come with benefits and restrictions for the chapters, and I'll touch on that again in a second. Fourth are the bylaws, and this is the contract with the members. It's what defines the operational framework for the organization. And lastly are the policies and procedures. This is the contract that you have with yourself, within your board, how you operate. It sets the parameters for decision-making and the step-by-step processes and how you're going to accomplish tasks, whether by staff or by volunteers. So all of the MPI chapters are nonprofit chapters. We are nonprofit organizations. And we've received the 501c3 tax determination from the IRS. Now, this nonprofit tax status, it's designed for charitable, educational, or scientific organizations, and we fall under that educational component there. And the greatest benefits of this tax status is that the organization is exempt from federal income tax, with a few exceptions. There are some unrelated business income that could be taxable, so make sure you're aware of those items. And contributions to the organizations are deductible. Now, there are restrictions that exist with this tax status, and that's mainly from you're not allowed to engage in political activities. You can't be involved in a political campaign. And very limited lobbying is allowed. So this is one where you want to be very cautious if there's any political or lobbying activities that would come into play. Now, it's important to note that with a nonprofit status, that's not a way of doing business. It does not mean that the chapter should not make a profit. And as Holly touched on earlier, there is a goal that you need to maintain reserves for the chapter. And each year, the goal is to make a profit that can be invested back into those reserves and back into the chapter. And so that's important to note when you consider your financials and your budgets, that you are a nonprofit, but you still want to make a profit to support the future initiatives of the chapter. Now, another governing document are the bylaws. I'm going to touch on this a little bit more here. Bylaws are, again, they define the operational framework for the organization. There is a minimum standard set by MPI, so you need to be aware of those minimum standards within your own context of your bylaws. And the bylaws are intended to address items such as membership classifications, number of board members, term limits, the election process, and amendment guidelines. Any change to the bylaws is going to require approval from both MPI and your chapter membership. So these are not intended to be changed on a regular basis, but again, defining the overall operational framework for the organization. Now, what you do have more ability to change is your policies and procedures. And these are designed to set the rules, the responsibilities, and the actions for the chapter. They identify what is to be done, who is going to do it, and how do they do it. There is a new required minimum policy manual that was implemented in the past year. So make sure that you're familiar, if you haven't already, but with what those minimum standards are for the policies and procedures. It's recommended that you review your policies and procedures on an annual basis to ensure that they're accurate, that they're relevant, that your process that you're following actually matches what is in the policy document. If it doesn't, A change to policies and procedures can be presented to the board as a written motion. So it's something that gives you a little bit more flexibility and fluidity to be able to manage your policies and procedures. So now I'm going to touch on operating as a board. What does the functionality of a board look like? And to start, there are two keys to the basics of operations. As your board comes together, there are some best practices for making sure that your meetings are effective and efficient. And how you implement these suggestions are going to vary from chapter to chapter based on your general operations. But these two keys are communication and preparation. Make sure that you are clearly communicating both to your board as a board, to your staff, your chapter administrators that are supporting you, and to your committees. And I'm sure that you see this in general day-to-day business, but communication is what's going to ensure success for your organization. You need to bring important committee discussions to the board that require board consideration or approval. And once decisions are made, that decision needs to go back to the committee so that they know what their tasks are, what their objective is, and how they should be continuing to proceed. There should be regular reports that are submitted to the board from your committees, from your finances, your membership, just everything that's going to help you operate. And so into the preparation, make sure that those are submitted. But beyond that, as a board member, you need to be familiar with those reports. Be reviewing them prior to your board meetings. And if you have questions, ask the questions in advance so that you're not spending time during the board meeting asking questions that could be addressed ahead of time. Know your budget and work within that budget. If there are any discrepancies that you see on financial statements related to your area, ask questions and confirm with your committees that it's on track with what your objective is with that committee. And be familiar with your sponsorship, marketing, education, membership, processes, and resources. Know what's happening and how to accomplish all of those operational aspects of it. So again, back to that preparation. Now, when you get into a board meeting, it is recommended that every meeting follows some form of parliamentary procedure or Robert's Rules of Order. It's meant to conduct meetings that allows everyone to be heard and to make decisions without confusion. What I've seen is that you should operate with at least the basics of parliamentary procedure, and it can be adapted to fit the needs of your organization. Most chapters might operate using sort of a Cliff's Note version, and the basic rules still apply. I know it can be a little bit daunting when you get into Robert's Rules, but there are quick, easy cheat sheets available on how to do this. And the reason this is so valuable is just down to the basics. One matter is considered at a time, a motion is seconded, it's discussed, and it's voted on. Motions can be amended, and then you would vote on that amendment to the motion. And the motion's going to belong to the whole board. So it was the board's decision on the direction that you're going to be moving in. And when you're operating this way, it's important that you speak up. If you have a question that's regarding that motion or the decision, speak up during that discussion time. If you presented the motion and the decision was not the result that you expected, make sure that you're comfortable with presenting that decision to the board back to the committee if it was a committee that was requesting that a decision be made. And if you need help with talking points to assist with presenting that back to the committee, make sure that you're comfortable with that before the discussion moves on to the next topic. Make sure the board is all comfortable with the decision that was made during that meeting. And during the motion process, when your motion is in action, all board members should be part of this process unless they have a conflict of interest. And again, that should have been addressed once this topic comes up. Or maybe the topic's being discussed and you didn't realize it, and now all of a sudden you think, I think I do have a conflict here with this discussion. Bring it to the attention of the board. Let the board decide if that is a conflict of interest and what that step should be. All board members are responsible for the vote that is taken at that meeting. You may disagree with the decision, but you're still responsible for the end decision. If you disagree with it, the time to disagree is during that deliberation. And if you disagree, you should be voting no. You should not be abstaining from the vote. Abstaining should only be a result of a conflict of interest, that somebody was not part of that vote. Abstaining or disagreeing does not release you from whatever that decision was. So again, it's okay to disagree with it, but in the end, it's the board's decision and you are responsible for that board's decision. Now, as you conduct your meetings, it's imperative that you have meeting minutes. The minutes should be a record of what was it should not be a record, like a transcript of what was said, but it should be a result of what was considered, what was accomplished. You don't want it to state exactly who said what during the meeting, but it should be more high level. It should give you enough detail to know how you made the decision that was made, but not indicating exactly who said what or what they said specifically. The minutes are designed to be a service for those who attended the meeting as a historical reference. You should not be creating your minutes as a service to those who could not attend the meeting. It should not be created as a meeting recap that's given to those who were absent from the meetings. And a tip for conducting your meetings and to do it in a more efficient way is to utilize a consent agenda. The consent agenda is a batched list of items that the board can approve. The items in the batch are your typical routine, non-controversial items that require approval. For example, it could be your meeting agenda, previous meeting minutes, the committee or board reports that are sent out, or your monthly financial statements. The goal here is these need to be sent to the board members in advance so they have time to review them. And during the discussion on your consent agenda, if there's a question on any of these items, a board member can pull it from your consent agenda. It's taken out and it's not approved during the approval of this consent agenda, but it's discussed later on in the meeting. So in a single motion, the board can approve every item that's on that consent agenda, and it allows you to move more quickly through your meetings, makes it more effective. There's no need to read all of these reports of the meetings, and that, in fact, should be discouraged. You want these meetings to be strategic. You don't want to be reading all of these reports to the board members when they can be shared in advance. And so these were some tips and basics for good governance and board operations. And at this point, I'm going to turn it back over to Holly to wrap things up.
Thank you, Beth. That's such valuable information. And some things to really take, you know, note of, especially if you're brand new, you know, keep these slides with you. Again, we're going to provide you a copy and reference back to them if you need them. And if you are a current board member, and this was a refresher, we're so glad that you've joined us. And then, you know, please make sure that you talk about this back at your board meetings and make sure everyone in your board is familiar with this information. Some may have missed it because in past years, it wasn't always required. So, hopefully that was helpful to help you understand that board functionality. As we start to wrap it up here today, I just want to take a couple minutes to talk about, now that you've, you know, heard about your partnership, you know about all the MPI Global resources and what it means to serve on a board of directors, we want to just talk about how you can succeed moving forward. What are those things that you need to be thinking about? And I think the number one thing that you need to know is to come prepared. So you took the first step today in getting prepared and learning this great information, but you want to make sure you stay involved and organized throughout the year, and that you're reviewing and reading all your board meeting packets, that you're staying in tune with what's happening at your local chapter and not staying in a silo or only focused on your key area, but that you stay informed on what's going on within your board, and that you show up to those meetings ready to go, that you show up to your committee meetings ready to provide them with the information that they need. So just really being prepared to do the work that you have. The more time you take to prepare in the front, the more successful it will be when your committee goes to do the work for you. Make sure you're really taking the time to really think through your leadership and how you're representing your community with your own professional brand and leadership style. And what does that look like for you? But making sure that you really have that vision at the forefront of everything you're doing and you're bringing to the table, that what you're operating in is about the vision and the mission of the chapter and the membership in MPI Global, and not your own personal desires and vision. Make sure, as Beth talked about earlier, that you're taking the time to ask and question things. You know, why are we doing this? Challenge those status quos. Make sure you're engaging in that conversation. And good leaders always are asking those questions. They're not just accepting it because it's what the people who went before them said or do. Seek change when necessary. Again, it's okay to change what you've done in the past. Just look to make sure you've got the decisions in front of you and you've got the data to back up the decisions, and stay focused on your goals, and you'll be successful with those types of conversations. You really want to make sure that you have an influential part in your membership. The membership wants to go where people are thriving and growing and succeeding in their careers. And so be influential and be a part of that community in a way that they want to follow you. Make sure that the, in everything you're doing, you're presenting that professional image and brand of MPI and of growth in the community. Dealing with your conflict is huge. I just cannot stress this enough. Don't let things sit. Take the time to deal with the things that are a challenge, the problems you're having, whether it's personal, interpersonal challenges within your board members or your committee, or whether it's an overall board issue that needs to be dealt with. Seek support when you have conflict. If it's not something you're comfortable in dealing with, and seek internal support through your office of the president or a fellow officer on your board, or seek support through your chapter business manager or myself. We're here to guide you and help you with any of those challenges that you might have. And of course, always setting standards of excellence. Look at what it is that you're wanting to accomplish and who you're accomplishing it for, and make sure you're going at it with excellence and taking the time to really drill into the needs of it. I mentioned before that your CBM is there to help you stay solution-oriented. So if you feel yourself digging into the weeds, you know, strong leaders stay at the top. They stay focused on the solution, not the challenge, and they keep moving forward. And they lead by example. You always want to lead by example. So if you expect your committee members and your chair to show up and be on time and engaged and accountable to the process, then you also need to show up, be on time and engaged in the process. You need them to come prepared. You need to come prepared. So in everything you do, make sure you're walking the talk, and that you're bringing other people alongside of you when you're doing that, that you're developing your chairs and your committees and your fellow peers to grow into the places where you are. You should, for all intents and purposes, be working yourself out of a job because you're so working on developing the others to take it over for you that soon you won't need to be there. You'll need to move on because people are ready to take over for you. And remember that you're leaving a legacy right now, and everything that you do from this point forward, you are now a board of directors for MPI International as well as your chapter. So, you know, this is your chance to make a mark in your community and make a mark for yourself personally. People are watching. So consider that. They're not just watching what you're doing for the chapter, but they're looking and they're going to recognize you for way beyond your chapter service. That person that you're interacting with may be your next employer or your next employee. So you really want to make sure that you think about the legacy that you're leaving. A few key things that really, you know, help me when I look at that is, what is it that great leaders do and say? And so this little chart kind of gives you some really unique ways to consider it. You know, what is it that a great leader says? Are they thinking that it's going to look good on their resume, what they're doing for you? Or are they want to know how they can help? Or are they really focused on, this is an opportunity for me? You know, so look at this chart and be willing to check yourself. You know, what is my attitude? Where do I fit on this chart? And throughout the year, I'd even reference this chart. When you find yourself getting tired or frustrated in the processes, reference this chart back and kind of see where you're at, because that will help you keep your legacy and your professional brand in check, as well as the chapters as you move through this process. Remember to have fun with it. You know, there's a lot here. This probably is very overwhelming and a lot to think about. And it's all important stuff. But at the end of the day, serving on a board of directors in your local chapter community should bring a lot of reward, a lot of fun, and a lot of personal relationships and professional growth. So make sure you take time to enjoy the ride, that you engage with your community and build those relationships while you're working so hard to keep the professional and the needs of the membership at hand. And my favorite quote is here, because I think it's going to be so important as you go through this year. You have to remember that a lot of things are going to come up, and things, you guys are in the meeting and event planning industry. Things don't always go as we planned. Although we have planner in our title, it doesn't mean it goes as we planned. So, you know, remember to be flexible, because when you're flexible, you know, you can never get upset or get bent out of shape, because you expect those things to come along and you're prepared for them as you move through the year. So with all of this, we want to thank you. Beth and I both want to thank you for the time and the investment in yourself and in your chapter and MPI for taking the time to listen to this webinar, but also remind you that we're both here to answer questions, and so is your chapter business manager. So please remember to reach out to us if you need assistance. I'd like to thank Beth for her volunteer time. She does not work for MPI, so this was on her volunteer time to support you guys in your walk in the leadership community. So thank you, Beth, for all that you do for MPI.
Thank you. It was honored.
And thank you to each of you. Yes, love having you. Every year, Beth comes back for us. I also want to thank each of you for your commitment to the community and for all that you do to grow MPI. So everybody have a great year ahead, and just know that we are here to support you as we go forward. And thank you.